Hello and welcome to the Monday, August 31st, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. In many organizations, ticketing systems are a valuable input for your metrics program. Now, Tom Webb wrote a little script how to input tickets into RTIR, which is a fairly popular open source ticket system, and he uses the REST API in RTIR to automate the creation of tickets. The way he uses this script is that if there was yet another phishing email that hit your organization and you extracted all of the IPs that were affected by this particular phish, then you need to create tickets for your support people to follow up with that. Now, with this script, you can do that very easily. You don't have to go manually into the ticket system and create these tickets. Instead, you essentially just feed the IP addresses to that particular script. As Tom points out, the one important thing about metrics is that they're easy to create and also reproducible. If it's too difficult to add the tickets, for example, then well, it just doesn't get done all the time, which leads to bad data and with that to bad decisions. And over the last few years, there was a lot of debate about electronic voting and how it could possibly be hacked in order to influence an election. There is now a new kind of threat that was uncovered by the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Now, it's not necessarily computer crime or hacking related, but it does show another vulnerability of this system. Now, the Public Interest Legal Foundation did send letters to 140 counties in the United States. Now, just to put this in perspective, there are about 3,000 counties total, so that's a fairly small number. Those counties have more registered voters than they have living inhabitants. So essentially, the voter registration records for these counties are pretty much inadequate. Since, of course, these records are then used to determine who is and who is not allowed to vote, having inaccurate voter registration records, of course, means that the voting process itself may not be accurate. Of course, in part, this may just be related to the voter registration process. Typically, when you register to vote and then later you move, for example, in a new location, you typically do have to enter your old address, and the new election office is supposed to notify the prior location where you were registered at, but there is no real sort of unregistration process that you have to follow. So in case the address that you provide or so doesn't quite match, it may not lead to you being unregistered in the location you moved from. And last week, Didier talked about Windows documents with malicious content being embedded in PDFs. If you wonder whether or not your antivirus scanner does recognize these kind of nested documents correctly, you may want to check out a test document that Didier created. It does contain the ICAR file, so that's just a pattern that's supposed to be recognized by antivirus scanners, but it's not in itself malicious, and you can use this document to test whether or not your antivirus solution does accurately identify this type of malware. And the FBI published some hard numbers for the first time that I can tell about business email compromises. Now, this is an issue I've covered for a while now. I think 2 years ago or so at our RSA Top Threat Talk, I mentioned this problem. Essentially, an attacker is compromising an email account at the company. The attacker is now able to listen in on the email, and then at the right moment, the attacker is able to inject an email requesting a payment to be authorized or a payment to be transacted. This, of course, works great if they gain access to, for example, a CEO access email account or any other sort of high-level employee at the company that is able to authorize large transfers. The FBI report does cover about 2 years, from October 2013 to August 2015, so just about to now. They counted 7,000 victims and a staggering $747 million being lost here. So the individual loss here is rather significant per event. These are just the U.S. domestic victims, which I think the FBI probably has a pretty good handle on. They also counted 1,000 non-U.S. victims with about $50 million in losses. Remember, Ubiquiti a week or so ago was in the news for losing, I believe it was $30 or $40 million in that event alone. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks again to ThreatStop for sponsoring this podcast. Thanks for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.